Movie, film, 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 for his sleigh. Nothing. It was on the house. Okay, I got another one. What do you call a snowman with a six pack? An indomitable snowman. Okay, all right. I can do better. What is the best
abdominal?
Abdominal.
I said
yeah. Okay.
Shall we start over?
No. What is the best Christmas present? A broken drum. You just can't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Last but not least, what do reindeers say before they tell you a joke? Oh, this one's gonna slay you. Right? Awesome. You're listening to Movie. Film.
Film. It's a podcast where you pick a Christmas flick and decide if it's a Christmas movie or a Christmas film.
That's what baby Jesus said.
Yep. Those were his first words.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, I'm Nate, and it's Christmas Eve, bitch.
And he also said, I'm Terrell, and seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. And that's from...
Is that a Christmas story?
No. That's from The Santa Claus 2.
For some reason, I didn't say it out loud, but I was picturing Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Tim.
Do you know mine?
I don't know, something with Seth Rogen in it?
No, it's Tangerine.
Oh, okay.
the first Christmas flick we did on this podcast, I believe.
True, it is.
Yeah. It is Christmas Eve as we record this.
That's your Christmas Eve picture, right?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Nice.
Because it takes place on Christmas Eve. That's how I celebrate Christmas in my house. Today, we've got our final Christmas flick. And our final flick of 2020.
Yeah, this is it.
Jingle Jangle Christmas Journey.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Sweet. Super duper.
But first...
Yeah?
Watch any Christmas flicks? Or any flicks in general? This week?
Our
Letterboxd is working again.
Oh, it's working? Great. Because my brain, it don't work. I watched The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And I didn't really watch it as so much as put it on in the background as I was doing things and then glance at the TV every now and again.
The Jim Carrey.
Yeah, the Jim Carrey one. Yeah. And it's great. Mm. And I've watched this so many times, I was just like quoting the movie. Like I was just like speaking with the movie. And it was great. I was just like, oh, this is just like so many memories tied to this. I have a really great theater experience tied to this of... my family gathering, like a lot of us gathering and like getting in a van and going to the movie theaters to go see The Grinch as a kid.
Nice.
And so it's always fun to like visit the Grinch. Yeah. Nothing bad to say about it, of course. What have you watched?
All right. The day after we recorded our Eyes Wide Shut podcast, I had a really fucked up quadruple feature.
Yeah.
I watched Doubt, Spotlight, The Club, and The Two Popes. Just really getting into the corruption of the Catholic Church. Really digging in from all angles. I guess I made Doubt my official Christmas watch that day, even though arguments could be made that all of those kind of... I guess Two Popes isn't really Christmassy.
But Spotlight...
Spotlight has a brief Christmas scene.
Yeah.
Doubt, more specifically, takes place in the Christmas season. There's a whole argument where Philip Seymour Hoffman wants to put Frosty the Snowman in their Christmas play.
Meryl
Streep wants the traditional songs. Yeah. And then Amy Adams is like, hey, Meryl Streep, you think Philip Seymour Hoffman raped these kids just because he wants to sing Frosty the Snowman? And Meryl Streep is like, you're so naive. I saw this movie like the year after it came out. It was like one of the first like dramas, like theatrical dramas that just dialogue heavy, tense situations, movies, like very adult for the time that I saw it. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched it in a long time. And it's really good. I think it was also the first Meryl Streep movie I've seen. Because I did not remember her doing a thick, thick Boston accent in it. Mm-hmm. But she does.
She does, yeah.
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 I think I took that for granted the first time I saw her. I mean, I was scared of her, but...
You were scared of Meryl?
When I first saw it, yeah.
I guess she is like a
I'm not even Catholic, and I'm scared of nuns.
Yeah.
Yeah, then Spotlight, that's a favorite of mine. I know it won the Oscar for Best Picture, but I still feel like it's kind of underrated. Mm-hmm. No one talks about Spotlight just because
it's such heavy.
It's heavy, and it's not like... It's like no frills to the way they
There's
did
no
it.
There's no fun to it, really.
I think the investigative journalism's fun. Yeah. Like when they're looking up they find the code that they put in the archdiocese book. Like if it says sick leave, then they know that priest got switched around.
Mm-hmm.
Also just really high drama, very good
ensemble
performances throughout. This time I was especially taken by Liev Schreiber's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Just super toned down, just like an almost nothing performance. He just talks like this, but he just comes off as like a real person.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that movie, just the way it ends, is so depressing, where it's like, by the way, this team published like 300 more stories about this scandal, and there have been like these cities have been exposed, and there's a bunch of U.S. cities on one screen, and then a second screen of more, and then it goes to international cities. It's like, oh fuck, the Catholic Church has a global hold on their corruption and child sex abuse. Real fucked up, Catholic Church.
Real fucked up.
I'll speak briefly about the other two after a break, where we hear about something you watched.
Oh. Let's see. I feel like everything else I watched with you, so you're gonna talk some more about some stuff. Let's see, where do I wanna go first? I was in and out of the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I'm surprised you logged that on Letterboxd because I didn't think you were awake for it. Because you did not react to anything, and
I was sleepy.
Yeah,
I was sleepy. I wasn't sure if I should log it or not. Honestly, I remember Michael Caine being phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just like
Scrooge.
Just like the most bone straight actor I've mm-hmm. ever seen with a cast of Muppets.
Right.
You would think you'd be like, why is this guy so serious? He's acting with Muppets. But no, it's great.
Yeah.
He's playing it just right. And the one thing I really remember is that tone shift from the beginning where like the Muppets, you see all the Muppets in the town and it's like, mm-hmm. ha ha ha. And then it goes to like that low angle and it's like
Ebenezer's here.
Scrooge is here and it changes. And then it was lights out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed what I saw.
Great adaptation. I wish Muppets did more like classic literature.
Mm-hmm.
They did Treasure Island and Christmas Carol. I think that might be it. All their other... I mean, I love their original movies too, but like, I feel like there's huge franchise potential in just taking public domain works of great works of literature and then getting kids into it, because it was definitely my first exposure to Charles Dickens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good one.
It is. My first exposure to that was doing A Christmas Carol in high school.
Oh, yeah. Who were you?
I was Charles Dickens.
Oh, okay.
I was Gonzo.
You were Gonzo.
Yeah, I was Gonzo. I narrated
Gonzo
the show.
Gonzo the Great. Nice. Yeah. Probably not as much physical comedy, though, right?
No.
Because he gets fucked up.
Yeah. No, I wasn't tossed around or anything like that.
Okay, so I'll go back to my quadruple feature, the second half of which started with The Club. After Spotlight ended with all those international cities, I looked up some non-Boston, non-American-centric looks at the corruption of the Catholic Church. And the Club is a 2015 film from Chilean director Pablo Larraín that I'm quite fond of. He directed the Natalie Portman Jackie Kennedy biopic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been watching his Spanish language movies this year. And The Club is about a secluded village where former priests live. I wonder why they're living secluded.
Okay.
And you gotta watch the movie to find out. And it's dark and dramatic and hilarious and depressing. And I really liked it. And it's a cast of like mostly older folks, which isn't normally a thing in movies.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone's like over 50 that's in this movie. It was rough, and it's the kind of movie that would never be made by an American studio.
Right. That does sound really interesting to see.
And then a weird way to cap off that day was with The Two Popes, which came out last year to try to get some Oscars for Anthony Hopkins or Jonathan Pryce, but it was unsuccessful.
Yeah.
It's like a dramatic retelling of Pope Benedict and Pope... the one now, the PR-friendly Pope. Pope Francis, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Francis. It's not a comedy?
No, it is a comedy. It's like a buddy comedy.
Yeah, okay.
Which is weird, because it's like the popes and they're evil. But, I mean, one is way more explicitly evil than the other, and the politics. Just that it's shot in a very artful way. It's the director of City of God,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Brazilian crime movie I like. We like.
Yeah.
Love. What else do I have to say about The Two Popes? The way it's shot is very interesting. It's like a documentary style for not a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that adds some element of, these are real people. This must be how it really happened, even though there's no way that's how it really happened.
Right.
But, no, it's a good one. Just comes off a little... I mean, they address controversies, but it does, especially after watching the other three movies, it comes off a little bit of let's sweep some stuff under the rug and look how cool our new Pope is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watch... okay, so everything else is going to be non-Christmas from here on. I watch Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes.
We watched it together.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We watched it on the 18th. We were very excited. We were anticipating this one. We're glad. You know, it's been a weird year for 2020 movies and mm-hmm. 2020. So it was nice to get a new 2020 movie. And it's theater, guys. It's a theater. Like, it's film theater. That's what it is. And that's how they gave it to us. They didn't change much. I'm not that well versed in all of August Wilson, honestly.
Me neither.
So
I've seen the movie Fences.
Yeah, I've seen Fences.
That's it.
I know the play Jitney only because I know the title of it.
Hmm.
But Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is about Ma Rainey, who was this famous blues singer. She is the mother of blues, mm-hmm. and it's just like a day, pretty much. It's a day of her recording some songs, and it's pretty much just like the dynamic of her with the white like recording execs and her band members with each other. And it's just like we just watched this drama unfold.
You're spending a lot of time before getting to Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, okay.
You still haven't said Chadwick.
Chadwick Boseman.
You gotta say Chadwick.
it is Chadwick Boseman's last performance. And he
knocks, maybe his greatest.
I think it's his greatest.
Maybe.
Knocks it out of the park at a 10 the whole time. I was speaking to someone and they were just like... I guess they counted that as like a negative, saying that he was like too hot the whole time. But I found it captivating. Yeah. I was mesmerized as soon as he popped on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you thought that maybe he was too big at the beginning, but then he got bigger.
Yeah.
He was really stretching that that muscle, you know, mm-hmm. and just like the scenes where he just had to get like really angry, or he had to cry and had to shout, and he just delivered every scene.
He had the full spectrum of emotions in that character. Yeah,
he did. He really did. And it was just a great final performance, and you know, and it's such a interesting final performance because you know that he is dying. You know that he has cancer. Well, now we know this. Mm-hmm. And he is, his character is upset with God.
Yeah, cursing out God.
Cursing out God. And it's that scene where I was watching, I was just like, ooh, I was like, what is going through this actor's mind? And like, what is he pouring into this moment right now? Mm-hmm. It was really like chilling to watch and fascinating.
Oh, did you have...
No, go ahead.
Right after we watched this, I think this is why you opened up the discussion of this movie this way. I was complaining a little bit that it was just so theatrical. Because you're watching it, and it's just like every second reminding you that it's a play.
Yes.
I've come around, though. Because everything else I felt was very strong. The costumes, the lighting, the set mm-hmm. decoration, the performances, the music... but the direction,
it didn't do much.
It bothered me while I was watching it, but I've come around and I definitely want to watch it again soon because there were some shots in there that obviously you wouldn't be able to see the story told this way if you were in an audience of a play. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the whole opening sequence, which I kind of forgot about by the end because it has this ending sequence that is really, impactful, but the whole opening when it's, you see the folks working and then running through the woods.
Yeah.
And it's like you think they might be like running away.
It was like so where bondage. What's the time period here?
But then they're running into the tent to see the performance, and you see this is where this is Ma Rainey's element. It's a live performance, and she's just recording to try to for posterity, or because the white record execs can get money off of it. Mm-hmm. And then the whole ending that apparently isn't part of the play.
Yeah.
I don't see how it could be. Bring in like, well, I won't spoil it.
Yeah, don't.
And then a couple like specific shots that have stuck with me that I realized I wouldn't get this in the play. That scene where he goes through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that whole sequence, the way it's shot like from above from above, very striking.
He's in a dead end.
Yeah. So I want to watch it again. I don't think... My gut reaction was just that it was a little annoying that it kept reminding me that it's a play. But it's a play.
It's a play.
It's August Wilson, and this is their attempt to immortalize his work in cinema now. But
yeah, they want to do the best to bring August Wilson to film. Like,
They're capturing it.
Yeah, they're capturing everything
that works in the play
to
make in a movie. And I get mm-hmm. that. I guess I didn't really get it when I was watching it. And it might have been because I watched it the same day as those other movies, mm-hmm. which included Doubt, which was also an adaptation, but it had like the Viola Davis scene walking around outside Boston, and this felt a little more claustrophobic. But the claustrophobia works with the themes of the play.
Yeah.
That they're stuck in this studio, and
it's hot.
They're the black artist musicians being pigeonholed and exploited.
Yeah.
Kept in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to end talking about Ma Rainey without mentioning Viola Davis,
because
she knocked it out the park as well. And I thought I was going to see more of her. Mm-hmm. We actually get a little less of her.
We didn't even get to see her black bottom.
We didn't even get to see her black bottom. But she nailed the singing bits.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the way she was like... like lived in the way like she like dragged throughout the every time she was on scene, she was just dragging. She felt heavy, and like this is like the first Viola Davis movie I've seen where she didn't cry.
She didn't cry.
She didn't. There was no snot. There's a lot of that in Doubt. There's a lot of that in Fences.
In Fences, it's her thing. She gets the fluids out of her face.
Yes. And so it was just like, wow, she is just like commanding this screen time in a different way.
Yeah, such strength.
Such strength and such a bold, strong character.
You know what? Something like, who did it last? Like Christian Bale did he? I think he won that year, maybe, or he was definitely nominated for the Dick Cheney for Vice.
Yeah, he was nominated.
He didn't where win. He gained a lot of weight, and people were going crazy about that. Why isn't anyone talking about Viola's physical transformation? I know, right? Like, I feel like that's completely overlooked that she looks the part. Like, Ma Rainey was a big woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Viola Davis clearly gained some weight.
Clearly.
Yeah, but no one's... I guess because she's a woman, people feel weird bringing up her weight. But it's part of the performance.
I don't know. I feel like the conversation around that is always around white men and their transformation.
Yeah, how they suffer for their art.
And how they suffer for their art. And never about, like, anybody else that might gain weight or lose weight. Like, extreme weight.
Yeah, not to mention, like, all the shapes that Viola Davis has to get herself in for other roles where she has to make herself smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It is mostly...
She did transform. She
white looked, guys.
She looked like Ma Rainey.
Yeah, like you were saying, she was dragging around. Yeah.
I loved it. And she has that great monologue, which the internet tried to spoil. I hate you, internet. I'm glad I didn't watch it because it was her only monologue in there. I think it was her moment. Like, that was her moment they were trying to sell you on. But I didn't need to be sold on it. I know Viola is going to act. I know it. I know this to be true.
Yeah.
So go check it out. It's on Netflix. Anything else? Or can we talk about Bakuru?
We can talk about that.
Let's talk about Bakuru. Okay. So this was
Bakurao.
This was really, really fun. Knew nothing about it. Went into it blind. Saw maybe a picture from it, but like nothing revealing at all. So I didn't know that it was going to be, this is not a spoiler, violent.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be a violent movie. It was good. And it just had so much, subtext in it that was just like, this is all very true.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
It's very satisfying in that sense. And like, honestly, there are like no good guys in this, I think. I just think that there are people that are wrong in this okay. situation. Only because I'm confused. That one person is out there just killing people. He's a killer. He's a murderer, right? He's not a good person, right? So, like, he's a murderer as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like...
We live in a world with murder.
Yeah, we live in a world with murderers. And so, it's...
I guess we didn't get context of the killings that he did, but...
Yeah.
There's
we don't definitely know why,
tension between, like, the way... a town is the way the community shares everything with each other and only takes what they need versus the Western ideals of individuality and take what you want or what you can, including lives.
Yeah.
Barack Obama listed it as one of his favorite movies of the year, which I thought was really fucked up because of the emphasis on drone warfare, which he, you know, is the king of.
He's a droner.
So I feel like he was watching that and the drone stuff came up. He's like, oh, this is my shit. Just started shoveling popcorn in his big mouth.
Oh, shit.
But I also think it was one of the best of the year. So
I agree.
So I'm with Obama on that one. I watched... What else should I talk about? I watched Sylvie's Love. I want to mention this just because no one's talking about it. I don't think. It was another 2020 release starring Tessa Thompson. It's a real throwback to like a kind of movie that I don't watch, but like the Audrey Hepburn movies, like
a real 50s, glamorous,
like melodrama. I guess, like, Carol was the same kind of thing, but Carol was more, like, trying to do a different version of it, where this is, like, they're just doing it. Yeah, it's just complete homage. Just let let some black characters get in on these stories.
Right.
And they did. And it's similar to Ma Rainey. There's a focus on jazz music, which I'm a big fan of. And the romance is very... it's all very expected. But I found that super comforting for a watch. It was a very comforting watch. Comfortable. And Tessa Thompson in the lead role. I love Tessa. But she does this thing in this one where it's like everything... not everything I like about her. But like she's always... she tends to play characters that are like have this edge to them, right? Are very like self-assured, have this edge. And in this, she's soft and uncertain. Oh. And I didn't know that Tessa could play those notes, but she does it very well.
Nice.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime and it deserves to be in conversation for awards, but for some reason doesn't seem to be.
I hope that... that changes. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it soon. I'll probably watch it with, I'll probably watch it with my mom. I'll be like, hey mom, let's watch this or whatever. And check it out. And then I can talk about it with you. And then we can talk about it together.
It's just the exact kind of movie that the awards groups usually go nuts over. The period, design, the costumes, the music, the makeup, the... it was shot on 16mm, so it looks absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about it until I went on Amazon and just saw the picture. I was like, okay, Tessa, play.
Nice. Let's see it. Let's get it for Tessa.
And the last thing I'll bring up is, in addition to the Muppet Christmas Carol I checked out, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which was a 1977 Muppet Christmas. Well, there weren't Muppets. Kermit makes an appearance, but it's like Jim Henson directed it, and it has features Jim Henson creatures. It's puppets, but not necessarily Muppets.
Okay.
See, the Muppets are like the coastal elite showbiz puppets, but Emmett Otter and his jug band, they're the Jubilee Jug Band of Frogtown Hollow. They're a more middle America, very humble upbringing. They're poor. So there's an emphasis on the fact that they're poor.
That's so interesting.
And that doesn't stop them from having love and heart and soul and music and a good time and a Merry Christmas.
Are the Muppets Aaliyahs?
They're in showbiz. Miss Piggy definitely is.
Yeah. No hiding that.
But yeah, they did this like the year or 2 years before the Muppet movie, and you could tell there's like stuff in it that they were like trying to figure out how to make a Muppet movie, but let's start with these other characters so it's not, the stakes aren't as big. Mm-hmm. But it's like you get puppets rowing a boat, and I don't really understand how they do that. Like I'm picturing like puppeteers like scuba diving underneath like a thing. I don't know the amount of work. I'm very impressed.
You were watching a behind the scenes thing, yes. And they were talking about when they were doing the Miss Piggy underwater thing and how they had to like film that with like an assistant, like a scuba, and like he had to take some air and then hold his breath and then release some bricks and then move the puppet around, and how crazy it was. And I was just like, I never think of the amount of work that goes into making the Muppets as seamless as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And to do something as like crazy as put the Muppets underwater, put a puppet underwater and not have it just float up or look weightless or something like that.
Yeah, Jim Henson's a legend.
Yeah.
I watched other stuff, but we don't have to get into it.
Okay.
Let's get into the trailer for Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey.
Once upon a time, lived the greatest inventor that ever there was, Jeronicus Jangle.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas indeed!
Jangle, for the last 30 years, you've been promising something sensational.
I need more time.
Either come up with the money you've borrowed by Christmas, or show me the revolutionary invention you once promised.
I would lose everything.
What's wrong, Grandpa?
Had a perfect life, loving family, and a magical shop, till an old friend took it all. but he didn't get this.
Young lady.
If I know anything about your grandfather, there's something sensational in that.
Flying.
If I have that toy, I'll be unstoppable.
It's foolproof.
You are proof that there are fools. Fools, 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 fools.
This is the only place where I've ever been where I finally felt like I belong. We have to get Buddy back.
I know about losing things. But the magic's in what you still have.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, the magic lives inside of you.
Jangle, A Christmas Journey is a 2020 American Christmas musical fantasy written and directed by David E. Talbert, choreographed by Ashley Wallen, with songs written by the Greatest Showman people, but also John Legend.
Yeah.
I'm not looking up their names.
Yeah.
I like how you can, like, it's like one in every three songs, you're like, oh, John Legend wrote that one.
Yeah.
Or at least I was like that.
I could definitely tell with, like, Miles and Miles.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that's him.
This was your pick. You want to tell us why you picked this?
Yeah.
This new movie.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I saw this coming a while ago, and I was just like, ooh, what is this? This looks amazing. This is like Black people in a Christmas movie. And I was like, ooh, it's coming to Netflix, so let me check it out. And so when we got to December, I hadn't made up my mind yet. And then I watched it. I finally got around to watching it. And I was blown away by it. So much so that it was a sure thing. I needed this.
I'm glad you got it.
I'm glad I got it. It's a beautiful bow on top of a piece of turd. As far as this year goes. It was just like, okay, I'll say this. When it comes to Christmas, it is predominantly white.
Yeah, very, right? Very white capitalist holiday.
The fantasy has never been sold to anyone else as far as film goes. And when I saw Jingle Jangle, I was like, oh, finally, we get the fantasy. Finally, we get to have something that is so pure and so magical that it is just like, it just rots your teeth. You know what I mean? And just like, you could watch this so many ways. You could watch this and you could critique it very heavily, or you could just fall in love with it and just be like, magic. Yeah, magic. Which is how I watch a lot of other Christmas movies, with like things that don't make perfect sense.
You got to get into that.
You just got to get.
You got to believe.
You got to believe. and this one helped me believe. And so when I saw it, I was just like, I got to talk about this one because there's nothing else I'd rather talk about than this.
I'm glad you picked it. I'm glad we get to talk about it. We didn't get to watch it together, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
We just watched it twice on our own.
Yeah.
It didn't work out schedule-wise, so I'm excited to talk.
It's a week. I'm excited to talk about it. If we would have watched it together, you would have saw me cry.
maybe next year.
Maybe next year. I'll still cry.
Let's begin.
Let's jump into it.
Well, okay. Let's begin. I didn't write down a bunch of critiques. One note. Shouldn't it be called Journey Jangle, A Christmas Jingle?
That'd have been great.
Instead of Jingle Jangle, Jingle, Christmas Journey.
A Christmas Journey.
I mean, that might have been a spoiler.
Like a dead giveaway, yeah.
But
the movie makes it pretty obvious.
Yeah.
That
yeah. It should be Journey Jangle, Christmas Jingles.
It's a lot of J's.
Or that should be the name of the soundtrack or something. It's the same number of J's that are in it.
You're right.
I've swapped Journey and Jingle. Anywho, we start off with some Christmas magic. Mm-hmm. A young girl. Does she have a name?
I don't know. They're just like the two
grandchildren. It's a boy and a girl. Yeah, the grandchildren.
The grandchildren.
And the girl's watching the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some fire dancers, like some sprites, I guess.
Yeah.
Dancing in the fire.
Yeah, the fire's moving.
It's magic.
Yeah.
But her brother doesn't see them.
Yeah. And she's just like, you gotta believe. And he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so there's
she's sad.
She's sad. There's a moment where she like doubts herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grandmother comes in, played by Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
She comes in very beautiful, very gorgeous. And they want to hear a bedtime story, a Christmas story. And she takes a look at her granddaughter and just like, I think it's time for a new story.
Yep.
And so she goes get this. She goes to get this really big book, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the invention of Jeronicus Jangle.
Yes.
And it's like the storybook is like a watch or like a clock. Like it has the little gears shifting. Yeah. It's like a very mechanically advanced pop-up book.
Yes, that's what it is. A mechanical pop-up book.
Let's before we even get into more plot, we should get into just the style, like what this world looks like, yes. Right? Because that, for me, at least on the first watch, was the main element of it that I was just getting super into. It's like Victorian England steampunk.
Yes.
But without any of the pollution that's normally associated with Victorian England and steampunk.
Yeah.
Both of those, there's pollution associated, but not in this world. So it's just sunny, bright, and colorful as
very
fuck.
Colorful. Yeah.
The most colorful Victorian England style I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. The most red, reddest reds you've ever seen.
But it's like not... I feel other Christmas musicals would just go so heavy on the reds and greens, but this they found room for blues and yellows purples. And purples and these patterns, these intricate patterns in all these. I mean, the costumes and the designs are
so good.
Oh,
and the hair is so good. Like they had attention to like to work with like black hair to bring in dreads and to bring into style like natural hair and to like this like mohawk.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe some of the styles that I liked the most.
Yeah,
there's one where it's like the Princess Leia buns. Sorry that that's my frame of reference, but instead of being on the sides, it's like three going down to her head.
Yeah, it's like right in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. It looks awesome,
and it's so tight and neat, and she has the gears in her hair.
Yeah,
yes.
Just the production design team, costumes and makeups and hair.
Yeah.
Just big props to everyone involved. Okay, so this book is like a steampunky storybook.
Yeah. And she blows on it and it's like fairy dust instead of regular dust. It's magical dust on it. And so she's going to tell this story. Once Upon a Time, not long ago. She opens the book and the gears start to turn and it pops up and the camera like swoops into the book.
Yeah.
And we see the world of the book
come to life.
And it's like, what is it? Like, what is this animation?
It's CGI, but in the style of
like wooden,
like figures? Stop motion, like Christmas wooden figurines. Right?
Yes.
I like the way they did it because there is that Steve Carell movie a couple years ago that I didn't see, Welcome to Marwen, mm-hmm. with like CGI dolls, but they looked too lifelike and it was like really like creepy.
Pasted their face on the doll.
But this, they had the dolls have much softer features, very basic geometry.
Yeah.
So they actually look like just dolls that are moving.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a good job avoiding the weird uncanny valley.
Yes.
And like animation and Christmas go so well together.
They really glad. Do.
This Jingle Jangle, another thing it does is it like references so many Christmas stories.
So many.
Yeah. It's like almost built on the Christmas traditions, stories, but then it tells a new story.
Yeah.
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 And does some new stuff.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of so much.
Yeah.
So we transition into like this animated wooden figurine world, and then we transition again
mm-hmm.
into like real life.
Yes.
And it's done very well. And we hear about Jangles and Things, which is the shop that Jeronicus owns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting the final component to his latest invention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is the one that's going to change their lives. He's got a wife. He's got a child.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to finally get to where they want to be because they have this last component.
This last component.
Which leads into the first song.
Mm-hmm.
This Day.
This Day. We also meet Jeronica's apprentice, Augustus, who is also an inventor. But his invention doesn't work. And so throughout the whole number, while Jeronicus is very happy to get this delivery, mm-hmm. and he's singing like, this is, you know, this is going to change our life. Everything's for free. Everything must go. Yeah. Get it out of here. He's also neglecting his apprentice.
True.
Yeah.
Some notes on the This Day choreography, and this comes back later because it's just part of the set of the toy store. They do the thing with the ladders that are like on a track.
Yeah,
that you can slide around. It's like the Beauty and the Beast thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Candyman from Wonka.
Yeah, a lot of Wonka isms in this, which I guess isn't a Christmas movie. Or no, that is it. Christmas? That was Christmas, wasn't it? I forget already.
No. It was just his birthday.
It was his birthday?
Yeah.
Okay. Love when the sliding ladders are incorporated into choreography. It's a staple. I worked in a retail store once that had a very specific design, and they did like the ladder thing, and
mm-hmm.
no one went to that store, so I spent a lot of time just alone pretending I was in a musical swinging on a ladder.
Swinging your leg.
Also, the part, just part of the design of the set, the twin staircases that both lead up to the second level of the toy store. So that was incorporated well with Jeronicus and...
It's a very nice shop.
Forget his wife's name.
Joan.
Yeah.
Or so, Joanne.
So they're both, like, each on a separate staircase, ascending it together, mm-hmm. synchronized. Very nice.
Yeah. The choreography is really good mm-hmm. in this and throughout... Any number that there is choreography, the choreography is like really, it's really shot well too.
Yeah, and they eventually make their way outside to the, we'll call it town square, I guess.
Yeah.
Just right outside Jingle Jangle. Jangles and Things, sorry. So that's when you get everyone in town joins the dance and you have like people just doing like backflips like over the crowds and it's just, it's magic.
It's magic.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. It's the greatest show, man. So, at the end of the number, they pretty much close shop, and they go all the way up to the attic.
Yeah, because they have the final piece.
The final piece. And so, this is the first time we see that he can visualize math equations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of like Stardust.
It's, you know, in, I think it's the first Hangover movie.
Uh-huh.
I think it's that meme, right?
Yeah, it is. It
where he sees them. That's when what this, the that's what Jingle Jangle is.
Yeah, he's just like counting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's getting the equation right. And then he pours a, it's like a droplet, whatever this mm-hmm. thing is. It's a box inside of his, a box and then a droplet. And then he pours whatever in the droplet into a machine.
Yeah.
And then the machine starts to like crank and move. And then that machine takes that drop and then drops a little drop into a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the toy comes to life.
Yeah, that's what the last piece was.
Mm-hmm.
Get some sentience for Don Juan Diego.
Don Juan Diego.
Matador doll mm-hmm. played by Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm. And he's a very self-centered doll.
Yeah, he's got the... I guess it's not really just Christmas movies, because it's he's got the Buzz Lightyear syndrome, right?
Yes,
the
he's very
self-important doll
mm-hmm.
who thinks he's the real thing.
Yeah,
doesn't realize he's a toy.
Yeah, me. I like it when you stare and all that.
He hears there's plans to make millions more of him.
Does not like it.
He's unique. He's the only one.
Exactly. There can only be one.
They bring him to life and then immediately start ignoring him because it's time for Geronicus to give his Christmas gift to his daughter, Journey.
Mm-hmm.
No, to Jessica.
Jessica.
Is his daughter.
It's all J's.
Yeah, right. And the gift is that she gets her own inventor goggles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like father, like daughter.
Yep,
she's gonna be very excited about that.
Yeah, she's gonna be an inventor too.
So they head out to celebrate. And the apprentice, Gustafsson's going to look over the shop while they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But Diego can talk. He's a person now.
Yeah,
so.
He's a person.
And he's hasn't been on the earth enough to have like wisdom or tact or anything.
Yeah.
So he wants to get out of there.
Yeah.
So he's going to talk Gustafsson into stealing him.
Borrowing indefinitely.
Right, that's the song.
That's the song.
Which is a very sexy way to say theft.
Yes.
And it's like Ricky Martin is like seducing Gustafsson into borrowing him indefinitely.
Yeah. And he falls for it. He falls mm-hmm. for the seduction and he borrows the book.
The book of invention.
Yep. And he leaves and Jangle. He comes back upstairs and like, hey, I hope you didn't think I forgot about you. It was like a mm-hmm. plate of food and all that stuff. And he sees that Augustus is gone, Diego's gone, and the book is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rushes out and he's distraught and he's looking for his apprentice and for his book.
Yeah, and then we go back to our framing device of grandma reading the book to her children. And this allows there to be this, then back into the animation for a little interstitial time passing, see what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not great for Geronicus. His wife dies.
Yeah, when his wife died, I yelled, what is this, a Disney movie?
Right. And then even sadder, his daughter Jessica, like their relationship gets strained. And there's this line, she didn't lose one parent. She lost two. And it's so sad.
It's so sad.
He's her last surviving parent and can't be there for her. It's very tragic and definitely a classic children's story thing.
The line that stuck with me was, the hole was too big and Jessica too small. Like, like she couldn't fill the void. And so eventually... She grows up and she leaves him.
Yeah,
and
30 years pass.
Mm-hmm, to start her own life. To start her own family.
Yeah, and Geronicus is no longer selling toys or inventing. He's he turned Jangles and Things into a pawn shop.
Yeah.
And not a very successful one at that.
Yep. Meanwhile, Augustus has become...
You keep calling him Augustus.
What is it?
Gustafsson.
Gustafsson?
Yeah, Augustus is Willy Wonka.
Whoops. Gustafsson. G-Man has become the biggest toy maker in the world. He's the toy maker of the year every year for the last like 20 years.
Of the year.
Yeah, every year. He watches as all his inventions are made by someone else. Someone else gets credit for them.
Yeah. So we got our second song when Geronicus is visited by the postwoman, Ms. Johnston, played by Anika. What's her name? She was the princess in Princess and the Frog.
Oh, Anika. No, that's the daughter.
That's the daughter?
Yeah, that's Jessica. Anika Noni Rose.
She was the princess?
Yeah, that's her. That's Tiana.
Wait, which daughter? Geronicus's daughter or
Jessica? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the grown-up version of the daughter is
Princess Tiana. Who's the postwoman? She's hilarious.
She's hilarious. This is Lisa Davina Phillip.
What has she been in?
This is her first movie.
Theater girl.
She's a theater girl.
She's got a future in the movies because she brings the most personality to this one.
She really did.
And she's an overworked postwoman with a very clear crush on Geronicus.
Very clear.
Or as she calls him, Jerry!
Jerry. I love it.
It's Jerry!
Like, she refuses to call him Geronicus.
And her voice is so good. She sings this... It's the Get Your Shit Together song called Miles and Miles.
Miles and Miles.
The first one that's very clearly written by John Legend.
Yeah.
It's got that... The bass and the beat.
Mm-hmm. And the background singers vocalizing, harmonizing.
Yes, she has backgrounds. Three background singers.
Yes. Yeah. And they come in and they're snazzy. They're very well dressed. And I love that Geronicus is just like, you have background singers?
Yeah.
Like, he's very aware of what's happening. And I also love that she has, like, this sixth sense, she says, where she, like, knows what your mail is without even opening it.
Yeah, she knows what's inside the packages, which, you know, kind of, like, that's why she loves Jerry, because she can tell he's this
she knows what's
beautiful
inside.
Guy on the inside, even though he has this hard shell on the outside. So, nice character. You know what? We're conflating two songs. One's called Miles and Miles, and then shortly after is Not the Only One. I think Not the Only One is the one with her background singers. I don't remember when Miles and Miles comes.
Are we?
Oh, no.
It's
sorry.
Miles and Miles, yeah.
Yeah, my notes are messed up. It's okay. Miles and Miles.
It's Miles and Miles.
Not the Only Ones. So next... After Miles and Miles, we meet Mr. Delcroft.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say, we also meet, I want to say a little, maybe before the song, Edison, who is his new apprentice, little kid.
And Mr. Delcroft, played by Hugh Bonneville of Downton Abbey fame.
Mm-hmm.
He's the banker, I guess. Saying, hey, if you don't start making money, we're going to seize your assets. So there's some stakes.
There's some stakes. Either come up with something revolutionary or we're going to take this. We're going to take this shot from you.
And he tries to, like, in that moment. he's got, like...
A probability machine?
Yeah, the way this movie does invention, it's like a mix of magic and math in a way that... It's weird. There's like no religion in the movie. It's a Christmas movie, but there's no religious text. It's all about magic and this like math-based magic, which is more just saying words like probability and exponent while like CGI stardust floats around you. Not like that. I guess it's trying to get kids into the sciences.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, because it didn't cross my mind, like, none of, like, the religious aspect of it. Because it is void here.
Yeah. And then we meet young Journey, who sings Not the Only One. I was confused. This is kind of the Disney princess song at the beginning of the Disney movies.
Yeah.
Where you see that she's got dreams.
Mm-hmm. And she's different, and she does things differently.
Yeah, she sings about... Being great is good enough, but being different sure is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that make her different, it's not that she's black.
No.
No. It's not that she's an orphan. Or not an orphan.
No.
No, she's not an orphan.
Not an orphan.
It's that she's interested in math and science. She's an inventor.
She's an inventor. She likes to measure things out.
Mm-hmm. It's a really short song. I wish it were longer because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get a little reprise at the end, but I liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
And her bedroom is just really fun. I wish that were my bedroom.
It's a nice bedroom.
Yeah.
It's a nice house. Jessica gets a letter in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From Geronicus.
Question mark. Because we do see him writing something.
Yeah.
We do. And so he's asking for his granddaughter to be sent over.
For Christmas.
And Jessica Jangles is going to oblige. She's going to send her daughter.
Her daughter, Journey Jangles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get, like, Geronicus not wanting to take in his granddaughter or not believing that she's his granddaughter first.
Yeah, like, not even looking at her. Like, he has no interest. No,
head in a book while they walk around town.
Mm-hmm. My granddaughter rhymes with July. Sounds like July. Journey doesn't sound like July.
Yeah, right. Eventually, like, she follows him inside and he's like, I'm very busy. Then we finish this conversation. But
yeah.
She ends up convincing him
that
she is, in fact, with the picture, she's his granddaughter. So he agrees, but makes her sign this very, very large contract.
Yes.
Very Willy Wonka-esque. Also, like, the lines that are Willy Wonky that stuck out. He says before that, like, speak lower, I can't hear you. And also, hurry back as slow as you can. Like, this, I guess that's more like Lewis Carroll than Willy Wonka. Anyway, same, like, nonsense logic of children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And the big contract is signed in invisible ink.
Mm-hmm.
That might come back.
Yep. And then we meet Gustafsson as an adult.
Yes.
Oh,
wait, before that, Journey insists on calling him Grandpa Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very sad. She leaves, and then to himself, he says, why doesn't anybody call me by my name?
Yeah.
And now we meet Gustafsson, all grown up.
All grown up.
Now he's played by Keegan-Michael Key.
Mm-hmm.
Who can sing?
Yeah, and dance. And just perform.
He doesn't do that much dancing. There's a lot of dancing happening around him. And he does some steps.
It does make him look good, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, there's a lot of professional dancers making him look good. But the singing. And his costume, I wrote down, it's if the Grinch joined a marching band.
Mm-hmm.
But also did some pimping on the side. Because it's like this green, like, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band outfit. But he's got the cane and the...
He reminds me of someone from Emerald City. From The Wiz. I was just like, yeah.
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 And
so we get...
this is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, Magic G.
Magic Man G.
Yeah, you can't spell magic without G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a big party. He's going to be unveiling his new toy.
The Whirly Twirly.
The Twirly Whirly, actually. The
Twirly Whirly.
You better get it right.
Right?
But this is all during the song. It ends up malfunctioning and just flying all over the place, attacking one of the guests.
Yep, he still hasn't figured it out after all these years. His invention is still a flop. It ends up burning a man's face, or like sucking a man's face or something.
Right.
Like, it's stuck on the toy, gets stuck on a man's face. And so I love how the last note turns into like the scream note, and then they have to like haul him off.
It's a good way to end the villain song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now left alone is Gustafsson and Diego, who he keeps in like a kind of a birdcage type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Diego's still up to no good, though. Still
controlling.
Still the
puppet master.
The Jafar in Gustafsson's Sultan's ear, I guess.
Yeah.
Because now he says, hey, you got to steal more.
You got to steal more.
It's the only way you're going to survive out here.
Exactly.
But
G is just like, I stole everything out of the book, so there's nothing left for me to do. And what I tried to do failed, so what do I do now? And Diego is just like, what are you, a fool? You want me to smack you again? Because I would love to smack you again. Yeah, a lot
of smacking humor.
Yeah. he's like, once a great inventor, always a great inventor. So, like...
He's not talking about Gus, though.
No, he's talking about Jerry or Geronicus or Grandpa Jay, which pretty much means spy on him because mm-hmm. I'm sure he has something in that shop you can take.
And he does. It's the Buddy 3000.
Yep.
Journey finds out that her mother, Jessica, had the idea for Buddy 3000. And Geronicus can't get it to work. So Journey has some time alone and decides, I'm going to make this work.
I'm going to make this work.
So we get her song, The Square Root of Possible.
Yeah. It's a nice number.
It's the empowerment song.
Yeah, it's the, I'm going to be the one to fix this.
Yeah.
Like, the piece that's missing is me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so for the not much to the choreography of this one, just dancing around the empty shop.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually, like, the CGI magic equations end up, like, filling up the whole room and lighting everything up. And that coincides with the key change
mm-hmm.
in the song. So that's, like, a good moment. It's, like, takes it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually ends with her dancing, like, outside on the, like, on the ledge. Like, I guess, like, the awning, maybe, of jangles and things.
And so, by the end of the number, she takes a lift up to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And Edison and Journey meet for the first time in the attic.
Yeah, Edison is a very, I don't know, like, a couple years ago this started. I love the, get young girls into math and science and engineering and let them be heroes of stories that don't need men's help. Mm-hmm. But like a byproduct of that is that you get a lot of movies now with these characters, like the guy.
Yeah.
Where they're just complete pussies.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily complaining. It's just something I've noticed that's like the archetype that they created to go along with this new redefined heroine.
Mm-hmm.
And Edison definitely fits into that. Like one of his first scene with Journey is that he's just like scared of her, that she's there, and he like thinks it's a ghost and like,
yeah, he's scared. And he's just like, he calls himself the head inventor and is like, do you want to be my apprentice? And then she's like, do you want to be my apprentice? Like,
right. Yeah.
And so he is scared. He's like, hey, you shouldn't be up here.
And he's got the thick glasses. He's just he's a dweeb.
He's a dweeb. He's adorable dork.
Yeah.
And so
I don't know why I'm complaining. I was that kind of kid when I was a kid.
You're talking about yourself, Nate.
Yeah.
So they bump into something, they knock something over, and it bumps into the Buddy 3000.
Yeah.
Yeah. They uncover it and just like, wow, what is this? As soon as I saw that, I was just like, E.T.
Yeah, I just wrote my notes, Amblin vibes. It's Spielberg's company. It's very E.T.
Mm-hmm.
They now have two kids and a mysterious flying robot. Turns out, and I think Buddy talks, the robot, so they discover he always worked.
Yeah.
He just needed someone to believe.
Yeah, he runs on... Belief. Yeah, he runs on belief.
Which is apparently like a mathematical component.
Yeah. You gotta believe.
You get the binomial and the integers of the subtraction and belief.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, then you get a little Peter Pan in there with all you need to do is believe and then you can fly.
And then you can fly.
They start hovering around the room.
Mm-hmm.
But this wakes up Geronicus.
Yeah. And it's a really fun scene to see them floating. Journey is all about it. She's doing backflips.
Right, of course.
And Edison is like, oh,
I don't know about this
I
one.
Don't want to put me back down.
But then Geronicus comes in, so Buddy shuts down.
Yeah.
Because all that negative energy enters the room.
Yeah,
he says,
oh no, less belief.
And like when he comes in, all the color exits the room and it's just drab and dark. And it's like, the color scheme you normally associate with Victorian England.
Mm-hmm.
Just the gray.
The gray is back.
Yeah.
And he doesn't believe them that it works because it doesn't it won't work for him mm-hmm. in his presence. And so he lashes out at the kids.
Yeah. He yells.
He yells. He tells Edison that he's not an inventor.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks. And then he yells at Journey to, like, go to her room to go to bed.
Yeah, and then he has this moment alone where he sings over and over, thinking about the mistakes he made in his life, all his regrets,
mm-hmm.
his estrangement from his daughter, loss of his wife. Then he gets some flashbacks of the good times.
Yeah.
And Forrest Whitaker, not a bad singer.
Yeah.
When you watched this before me, and I was curious if he sang and what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was more of like a talk singing,
uh-huh.
Which I equated, based on that description, to Russell Crowe in Les Mis. But he's way better than Russell Crowe. Like, Russell Crowe, that was talk singing.
Yeah.
He's not like a singer.
He's not singing. Like, he's not. They worked with him. They definitely like kept it in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, it works.
It's nice, and like for that character, like it works. It makes sense that he wouldn't be. I mean, like the young version of him had a voice.
mm-hmm.
Whoever played young Geronicus in the beginning, but it makes sense that that character wouldn't be singing the super complex melodies.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get this little scary scene at night where Gustafsson creeps on Journey in the alleyway.
Yeah, because he was watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was peeping. He saw them flying.
Yeah. So yeah, he's trying to figure out what's the deal with this buddy robot.
Yeah, trying to get her to talk.
Yeah.
But she's smart.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're Slugworth.
Yeah. Pretty much. And this is a pawn shop. So I don't know what you think you know, but we just pawn stuff here.
Then we have another scene of Miss Johnston being sexually frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And Geronicus is just waiting to get like a package from her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's flustered. And she's like, everyone has their packages, deliveries they need to get.
Yeah.
And she's... you know, he doesn't reciprocate her feelings, so that is frustrating.
Yeah.
And she's flustered trying to close her truck, so Geronicus has to mansplain to the postwoman how to close the postal truck.
She's like, I know.
Yeah, of course she knows.
I know.
Though he does help her get her truck started when it won't start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. And then there's a snowball fight. Classic. Gotta have a snowball fight in your Christmas movie. Gotta have a
snowball fight.
But this has a... Geronicus gets the snowball. He gets hit by a Journey snowball mm-hmm. from across town. So then he stops and he has to do in the window pane. He does the equations. Mm-hmm. It's like that Social Network thing of doing math on windows.
Yeah.
And this gives him the equation to throw like a boomerang snowball because he throws it and then Journey's like, you missed me. And then it comes back and hits her in the head.
Yeah. It's a bunch of trick shots.
Yeah.
It's really cool because the Journey next shot is like four snowballs in one that break apart and then hit like all the boys.
Yeah, it becomes like this boy versus girl thing.
Yeah.
And they do this thing. It's very 2020.
With the Afrobeat.
Yeah. Well, just like the fact that after they throw the balls, they do like little Fortnite dances.
Oh.
They're like TikTok dances. I don't know how to describe. But yeah, it's to the Afrobeat song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like these little like victory dances.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it. But those dances were a part of something, I say, more culturally significant before they became a part of TikTok.
Right, right. So just like super popular now.
Yeah,
just
super
like
popular.
That kind of dance as was showing off, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first song in the picture where someone's singing it, but it's no one on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scene has a weird ending.
Yeah.
Where Geronicus hits like the constable with a snowball, and then the constable gives him a look, and then he just puts out his arms like as if to say, "Cuff me,
cuff me."
But that's just the end of the scene.
Yeah,
which I guess, I mean, that was definitely intentional. I guess that's like part of the fantasy, right?
Yeah,
that's it's a fantasy, and part of it is you can hit Yeah. And it's kind of a classic children's movie, right? You prank the cop and it's like, ah.
Yeah.
But then there's no repercussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are none.
Yeah. It's just a weird way for it to end with him putting out his arms. And then it cuts and then he's just walking back in the store. And when they get back to the store, Journey and Edison discover that Buddy has been stolen.
Yeah.
So this is where they have a plan to recover Buddy from Gustafsson by traveling to his factory via like the sewage, I guess, or there's a very complex system of tunnels and pipes.
Oh, that's on the way out. They actually get there by sneaking into Johnston's delivery truck.
Oh, right.
And she drives up to Gustafsson.
She has that horn. She honks the horn. It's like a, not a car horn, but it's like a bicycle horn on the side of her truck.
Uh-huh.
She honks it and then yells, honk, honk. And then says, like, I only almost hit one person today. So yeah, they get to Gustafsson's factory, and while they're there, they witness him trying to unveil Buddy, but of course it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So he gets laughed at by the investors.
Yeah, no magic G song. He lost all confidence at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't believe anymore himself.
Yeah.
So there, he's going to take it to the crusher.
Yeah, he's going to destroy him.
Because it's a failure. He's going to crush it.
But Journey and Edison get him back before that.
Mm-hmm. They make up a plan. You distract. I go get it.
Teamwork.
And they do it. They're successful. But on their way out, they accidentally start a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
it happens.
Yeah. So now they're in that wind tunnel. Geronicus sees a poster for the Buddy 3000.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to make his way up to the factory and be like, hey, what the hell?
Yeah, he runs into Miss Johnston,
mm-hmm.
who sees him walking and insists that he gets in the truck,
mm-hmm.
Jerry, and he gets in, but he says, my name's Geronicus. And then there's a line, when you're walking, you're Geronicus. When you're riding with me, you're Jerry!
Jerry!
So now Geronicus is outside the wind tunnel,
mm-hmm.
while Edison and Journey are on the inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this big fan blade. Oh, sorry. There's a big fan blade blocking the exit.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to do some math to get out of this alive.
Yeah, some impossible equation.
Yeah. First, they try to get enough speed. It's like a go-kart type of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe mine cart, mining shaft. I don't know. But yeah, Journey's really into that. But Edison is like, oh, well, Journey says, this is so cool. And Edison's like, this is not cool. It's ill-advised. But Edison needs to believe, and Journey gets him to believe, and that final push lets the cart go even faster.
Yeah, and Buddy 3000 comes alive.
Yeah.
And they have to go a certain speed at a certain angle in order to get out. And now they're going too fast. And so when Journey gets Edison to believe, it awakens Buddy,
yeah.
And he slows it down a little.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just barely able to make it through the spinning
slow
fan.
Motion. Yeah. It kind of looks like their heads might come off.
Yes. The blade is very close.
But no, they get through. They just get knocked into the snow. Mm-hmm. And of course, Edison's like, I'm okay.
I'm okay. Yeah, he's the one that gets thrown face first into the snow.
But he just says, I'm okay. Gets up, wipes off the snow. And they mm-hmm. have a little group hug.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Johnston arrives and is like, oh, for group hugging. But she never gets to join in.
No.
Not yet. And then Gustafsson, of course, noticed there's a fire. Buddy's gone.
Yeah.
He's got his guards on pursuit.
Yeah. In that hugging moment, Geronicus does call Edison an inventor.
Yes.
There's that moment.
Also important, after the escape, Buddy didn't make it all in one piece. He got damaged.
Yeah, he's damaged.
Yeah. So yeah, but they end up escaping the guards with the help of Miss Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
And a very sweet moment just after that very long night, where Edison has to go home. He's like, my mom's probably wondering where I am.
Yeah.
But then he like stops and turns to Journey and says, Journey, I really do like you.
A lot.
And yeah. then he falls, he like goes off screen and falls, and you hear like the sounds of like things falling because mm-hmm. he's a klutz and you can't have a sincere moment without immediate joke.
Wow, yeah.
But yeah, usually with that archetype, like scared of everything, including their own feelings. But this movie, I mean, it's a 2-hour movie. It doesn't have time for that storyline, I guess. But I kind of like that it just skips right to Edison being able to say to this girl, I like you a lot.
I like you a lot.
It's just so sweet.
It's very sweet. And yeah, after almost losing his life, I guess he has the guts to say something now.
Meanwhile, Jerry's thanking Miss Johnston for her help, helping her start the car again to drive off.
Mm-hmm. Pulls out mistletoe.
Yeah, this time while he's like explaining it, like, he's explaining how to get the car started using, like, math or engineering words. But ends up, like, turning it into this move where he gets the kiss.
Yeah. Kisses her right on her cheek.
Yeah, and then she starts, like, humming. You got a little reprise of Miles and Miles. Just a little bit. Like, it just makes her sing.
Yeah.
Like, getting the love. And then meow! It's our second movie this Christmas where a woman expresses herself through meows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after she drives off, her backup singers pop out again to finish off the reprise.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeronica says, they really are a group.
Journey, they have this moment where they're inside Journey and Jeronicus, and she's like, you know, I never felt like I belong.
Mm.
And Jeronicus assures her that a child with an imagination will always belong.
Yeah, that's after Make It Work. So you have, before that, you have Journey telling,
is that? I thought Make It Work was next.
Maybe my order's wrong.
Because then she goes to bed, and then Jessica, we turn to Jessica at night,
yeah.
And she's coming. She starts singing, and then Jeronicus joins.
But you have the moment where Journey comes clean about the letters. I think that's before this.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, she comes clean to Jeronicus that she wrote the letter to Jessica as Jeronicus, and then mm-hmm. wrote the letter to Jeronicus as Jessica, because yes. she's the one, she wants to get to know Jeronicus. She heard all of her mom's stories about how great and magical Jangles and Things was,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to learn.
And that explains why, when she first came to him, he didn't believe her, and he mm-hmm. wasn't looking at her, because he wasn't right. expecting her.
And, after this very heartfelt moment, it gives Jeronicus the juice he needs to repair Buddy.
Yeah, and so he's going to start trying to make it work again.
He's and this leads into Make It Work, because then we cut back to Jessica at home, getting ready to join Jeronicus
mm-hmm.
and Journey. And while Jeronicus is making the toy work, Jessica's going to come to town to make her relationship with her father work.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those John Legend songs, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out with like the percussion of like clinging and clanking of like machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with more group dancing, like on that same town center
at night, set. Yeah.
But this time it's night, so it looks different and mm-hmm. looks cool. And it's like the movement to this song's more like stomping and clapping than the other ones. Like it's more percussive, I guess. So now Jessica's back in town.
Mm-hmm. They're face to face now.
Yeah. She's mad that he neglected her.
Yeah.
But then he's like, hey,
I'm sorry.
I wrote all these letters. I couldn't even send them. But it's not that I wasn't thinking of you.
Yeah. I really like this moment because he flat out apologizes.
Yeah.
And she also gets to get all her frustrations.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, a real emotional purge.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she opens up one of those letters and she reads it and she's just like, aw. And so she, they're on good terms.
And she's going to help Tronicus fix Buddy.
Yeah, she looks over and just like, hey, I know that.
I don't know if it was because, I don't know, on my second time watching this, it was either because I already knew what was going to happen, so I wasn't like trying to follow it. Or because I was admittedly drinking a couple beers. But the emotions hit way harder for me the second time, which gives me confidence that this movie is going to have a real shelf life on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll definitely rewatch it next Christmas with you.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get that emotional the first time. I was just like, this is really nice. The music's good. Look at these costumes. It's like,
it's so much visually. This
better get a costume nomination.
Yeah.
It better.
Hair and makeup too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the emotions in this moment hit me last night.
Nice. It's a really.
And then the next morning, Buddy works because Jessica believes.
Yeah. And I love that it's Jessica's work. It's her invention.
Yeah.
And he needed her.
And her love and her input and her mind.
Yeah.
Not just her love and support, but also her skills as an inventor in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the big confrontation the next day. Gus tries to pull some shit now where he calls in the police to say, hey, he has Buddy. Buddy's mine.
Yeah. And he has proof. Which Jeronicus didn't have in the beginning to prove that Gustafsson stole his book.
Mm-hmm.
Gustafsson has the blueprint.
Yeah, but...
But...
Journey...
Being the smart girl she is.
She's super smart. Super she smart. Remembers the contract, remembers the invisible ink, comes back. You see, written right there in invisible ink.
Property.
Jeronicus jangles some things.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point... Like, even more so than Gustavus and Diego was like, he's a thief! He stole me! But then, as soon as the invisible ink comes out, Diego just switches sides like that. Quick, just like,
oh my god, you're a thief.
He kidnapped me!
I couldn't believe it!
I've been in captivity for 30 years!
Yes. yes.
There are people on Letterboxd complaining that Ricky Martin shouldn't have had as big of a part. That character didn't need to talk or something. But what? I thought Ricky Martin was hilarious.
He's great, and his part is not that big.
Right.
He doesn't get that much screen time.
Like, yeah.
It's great.
I don't know what people were expecting when they watched this movie.
Me neither.
So now Jeronicus, right after Diego comes back home, switches sides, Jeronicus is like, okay. Then he takes his life, essentially.
He turns him off, and I'm just like, Gustafsson, like, you didn't think once to turn off this, like, constantly talking toy. Gustafsson sucks.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't know.
But then as he's arrested, Jeronicus gives him the component for the whirly-twirly that he was missing.
Oh, I really like this moment,
And he says, hey... I was going to teach you how to do all of this stuff. You just had to be patient.
Yeah.
And as he's being like led away by the police, being given this gift and almost forgiveness kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Just hits it in just... very in line with the message of the movie, which is just have faith, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Don't resort to bad deeds. Just have faith.
Yeah.
And be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just has this look on his face, like, oh, man, like, I messed up.
Mr. Delacroix comes back, a banker. He sees Buddy in action.
Yeah.
So now the chorus in the background, we just hear the vocals of the choir reprisal of This Day. While he's, you know, promising, you know what? You get all the money you need.
Yeah. Anything you want, the bank will give it to you.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And magical.
And if that's not enough magic, guess who starts flying?
Buddy. And
Jeronicus. I was going to say Jeronicus. Oh. Yeah.
Jeronicus starts to fly.
He starts to fly and he's like, what? Edison.
And Journey's like, let go. Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Grandpa Jay, let go. Mm-hmm. And that's like another good message is relax and good things will come. And don't be tense and have faith.
And then
everyone's flying and it's so merry. And all the colors coming back.
And the people are coming back to the shop.
And it's like the beginning all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the moment for me. This is it. This is...
like them flying around or when you go back to the storybook?
When... because at the end of this moment, Edison comes into the room. He runs into the room and he starts to fly.
Oh, it's when Edison flies?
It's when Edison flies that I lose it.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah, it's that moment of, like, I'm getting emotional now, but of, like, seeing a black kid fly. And, you know, I've seen, like, if I can see, like, a black man get choked out on camera, then I should be able to see a black kid fly, and I should be able to, like, have that magic. I should be able to enjoy that. And I was just, it was just like, it was like so much serotonin. I was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, I really needed this. Aww. Really needed this moment. And so it happened twice. It was the exact same moment. I was just like, I'm going to cry every time at this moment when I see this little black boy fly.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the storybook. And guess what? That little girl was me.
That little girl was me.
Felicia Rashad is playing a grown-up Journey,
mm-hmm.
telling her grandchildren her own story.
Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, look, I still got the gears in my hair.
Yeah, and then in comes Buddy.
In comes Buddy. They never met Buddy.
Who I guess wasn't mass-produced ever. Yeah. I don't know. Not gonna try to look for holes. And then they have the Peter Pan moment where they all go out the window and fly.
Fly to the factory, Geronicus factory.
Yeah, it used to be Gustafsson's factory. Now it's the Jangle factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watch the sequel where they go to the factory.
Yeah.
Grown up.
Mm-hmm.
It'd
be even more Wonka.
Yeah, right? And it ends, there's a reprise of Square Root of Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, Square Root of Possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they fly away and it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Over, yeah. It's like they never looked out the window before. They never knew their grandmother's name. But it's magic.
It's magic.
You just have to believe. And then you get Usher in the closing credits singing...
oh, that was Usher?
This Day, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's, nice. It's Raymond. And you go back to the storybook animations.
Yeah, for the credits.
For some closure, yeah. We see Jangles and Things back in business.
Mm-hmm.
Gustafsson in his cell. Like, he's in prison, but he's getting the twirly-whirly to work, so there's that.
There's that.
The Diego doll is being mass-produced. And
I hope they're not all self-centered because, man, the evil they could do.
True. Telling everyone to steal.
Exactly. Little kids will do it.
And the opening of Jangles Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jingle Jangle.
That's Jingle Jangle.
I have a question.
Yes.
And in addition to the one we always ask, which of these songs would you say should be the Oscar nomination song?
Because
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
It might be the kind of thing where a couple get nominated, because I don't really know if there's other musicals this year or other original songs.
Maybe This Day? And...
Was that the first one?
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's the one Usher sings. That would make sense. Yeah, that was the big Greatest Showman opening number song.
That's the big one. And then I can't remember the name of the one that Anika Noni Rose sings.
The Disney Princess song. Not the only one. That one?
Yeah. No, no, no.
No, no. Make It Work.
Make It Work.
Make It Work. Sorry.
Yeah.
Still confused about who Anika is. Yeah. Yeah, I liked all the songs.
Yeah, me too. This is good music, which is very important if it's going to be a musical.
Yeah.
When I was first considering this, you said, don't pick it if the music is bad.
Yeah. This is our sixth musical of the year. The year. Yeah. But no, it's not. It's got that pop music backing. I think one of the songwriters is like one of Bruno Mars's guys that worked on it with John. Yeah, good stuff. All right, now the big question. Is this a Christmas movie or a Christmas film?
Oh, God, what a question. What a question. I don't know. I'm having such a hard time with that question, whether it's a film or it's a movie. A big part of me is saying Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. Big part of me is saying Christmas movie. But then when I think about just like the production of it, just like the costuming and the hair, the attention to the hair and all that, I want to say film.
Okay.
But I'm going to say Christmas movie.
I'm going to agree.
Okay.
I love the costume and hair, but that's not enough for me to take it to film territory.
Yeah.
It's a musical.
It's a musical movie.
It's a Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas flick.
Yes.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a magical movie fantasy Christmas journey. It really should be Journey Jangle Christmas Jingles, though. That's my hot take.
That's your hot take. I'll take it.
And that wraps up the year 2020 on movie film.
Yeah.
We'll be back with another one on the first. Starting off the year with movies we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
That you, the listener, probably haven't seen, so
yeah.
We'll get to explore some new stuff.
It's gonna be a fun January.
Yeah.
Unexplored territory.
Yeah. Email us, moviefilmpod@gmail.com, if you want to.
Yes. Say Happy Christmas to us. Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Holidays.
Wish us a Happy New Year.
Yeah, wish us a Happy New Year.
Give us ideas for what we should do for our 100th episode, which is coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, we should do like a listener's request or something. We should set that up somehow.
If listeners request.
If they request, we should, yeah.
Yeah, request stuff at Movie Film Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Let us know what you think. We love you. We love that you love us.
Yeah, love.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back on movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Everyone. Everyone.